At an early age, he showed real talent for music. By the time he was 10 years old, he'd wake up in the middle of the night, sneak downstairs, quietly open the study door so as not to arouse anyone, because he wanted to go inside and get at his older brother's music. You see, his older brother didn't think that he could play his music. It was too complicated. It was too difficult. So in the middle of the night, he'd sneak down, and he'd take his brother's music, and there in the moonlight, he would copy down note for note. And then when he was finished, he'd take the original and place it, and then head back upstairs to bed, anxiously waiting for the next day when he could start practicing and working on his new piece of music. Well, his talent only excelled from there. By the time he was a teenager, he was winning competitions. There was one time that he went to a neighboring town, and when he arrived, the judges simply announced him to be the winner. And he says, well, how can that be? I haven't even played a note. And they said, that's because when the fellow competitors found out that you had entered, they didn't bother showing up. He went on to a lifetime of music, world renowned even to this day. His name, Johannes Sebastian Bach. You would think Bach, having such talent and such a gift for music from an early age all the way through adulthood, would have a huge ego about him. But it was actually the opposite with him. When he sat down to compose a piece of music, the first thing that he wrote were two small letters at the top of the page, J.J. It stood for two Latin words that meant, Jesus, help me. And when he was finished composing, then down at the bottom of the sheet of paper, he would write three little words, three little letters, S-D-G, Sola De Gloria, to God alone be glory. Bach once said this about music. He said, the aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. A man of incredible talent, having such a gift, and yet he saw his goal was to glorify God and all that he did. Sola De Gloria. But bringing glory to God alone, it goes beyond just sacred music. It actually is what God calls all of us to do. Is that in a response to all that he has given to us, that we live our lives for him and we want to seek to bring him glory. We're finishing up our series of messages from the Reformation, this being the 500th anniversary of that. And there's the five solas, the five statements of that era, which were kind of the banner that they rallied behind. And the first four really lead up to this one because they point to all that God has done. Each of the statements stand on their own, but as we've discovered, they actually work together. We've had a summary statement that we've gone over each week to see how they're interrelated. One last time, let's read it together, shall we? Scripture alone is the source of truth that teaches salvation through Christ alone, who has redeemed us by grace alone, which is received through faith alone, and now we live to bring glory to God alone. The first four point to God alone as the source of our salvation and life, and we respond then with a life that seeks to bring glory to God alone. So the question we have for today is, how do we show glory to God? And maybe an even more basic question than that is, what does it mean to give glory to God? If you look at a definition, if you give glory to someone, that means that you bestow upon them honor, praise, respect. So we might even say, if there's a winner of a race, we might say, and there she stands in all of her glory. You've probably heard that expression, right? There stands in all of her glory. What does that mean? It means that there's an acknowledgement that you're the winner of the race, that you've beat all of your competitors. Maybe there's even some praise that comes from those who are watching the race through applause. There's respect by the fellow competitors because of her speed and her tenacity or maybe her endurance, you see? So there he stands in all of your glory. So what does it mean to then bring glory to God? It means to acknowledge God, to acknowledge him and give him the honor, the praise, and the respect. So we glorify God when we acknowledge the God of creation. We look around at that all has made and all that God has created, and we give honor and praise to him. Now, a little bit of a caution here, and the caution is we need to have some humility in our knowledge. This is what I mean by that. If you think back over the past 100 years, how much we have advanced and how much knowledge we've been given. How about just the last 50 years? How about the last 10 years? The last 10 years, the advancements in medicine, the advancements in technology, the advance in science, I mean, the amount of knowledge and skill that we have, it's almost unbelievable. And here's the danger. We should watch out that all of a sudden we don't just excuse away what God has done. We don't try to explain away the God who created all of this. We need to watch out that we don't convince ourselves that we know everything or that we can solve any problem. In other words, we need to be careful that we don't glorify mankind, but we give glory to who it's due, and that's the glory to God. He's the one that created all of this. He's the one that gives us all of the knowledge. He's the one that gives us all of the advancement that we have. So we acknowledge the God of creation, and we should be in wonder and awe of that creation. And I may be a little biased here, but I think we're a little slice of heaven here that we get to see God's creation on a daily basis. I know every day as I come to church, I get to stare at the beautiful mountains, and on my way back, I get to stare at the Santan Mountains. I can look out my backyard, and I can see the grandeur that God has painted for me. This evening, he's going to paint the skies with a beautiful sunset, as he often does here. And then the night sky is going to brighten the stars, and we get to see God's creation. He is the creator of the earth and the heavens and everything in them. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." Just creation itself proclaims God's glory. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to dismiss it. But we see in his creation his glory. We want to acknowledge God in salvation. Give God the glory, the honor, and the praise for salvation, because it's his work. This is really what the Reformation was all about. In the 16th century, unfortunately, God was pretty much taken out of the equation. God was just simply an angry being who wanted to punish human beings for even the smallest of infractions. And the dispenser of grace and forgiveness was a very corrupt church who would come in, and if you did what you were told to do and say what you're supposed to say, or it even got to the point, if you paid the right price, then they would dispense God's grace to you. The glory was not given to God. It was given to the church. That's the time that the Reformation began. As people like Martin Luther said, this isn't sitting right, this can't be true, and they dug into the Word of God and rediscovered the gospel, that really salvation is all the work of God, and it's his gift to us. So the solas, the statements we've been looking at, they actually bring glory to God. If you take a look at the first four solas, the alone statements, they all point to God. So it's Scripture alone. So what is going to be our source of truth? Where is it that we're going to look to for something that we can trust? To God's Word alone. Because the Scripture, we believe, is God's Word. So what God reveals to us, that's what we'll trust. And what does God's Word reveal to us? It reveals to us that salvation can be won only through Christ alone. The Anointed One, the Messiah, the one who was uniquely qualified to step into our place. For the Son of God was both God and man. And though he was innocent, he stepped in to take our place. And all of our guilt and all of our shame was put upon him on the cross. Christ alone could pay that price. Christ alone could die on the cross and come back to life 3 days later. And then it's by God's mercy alone, by grace alone, that we receive the gift that God has in his Son. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. That's not even part of the equation. It is God's mercy motivated by love through Jesus Christ that he gives us the gift of forgiveness and salvation. And we receive all of that by faith. Not just a simple belief that there is a God or a higher power, but a saving, trusting faith. A faith actually that was given to you by God. So by the power of the Holy Spirit working in your heart, either through the waters of baptism or through the power of his word, convincing you to accept all of God's promises to be true for you, so that you can cling to Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. All the four solas point then to giving God glory. It shows us all that God has done for us, and in response then, God gets the honor. God gets the praise. God gets the respect. We acknowledge God in salvation. And then we acknowledge him just in our life. In every aspect of our life, we can glorify God by acknowledging him and all that he has done for us. That's what Jesus did in his life. Take a look at the gospel lesson again with me. John 17, Jesus is praying to his Father in heaven. He says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So Jesus, in all that he did, pointed to the Father. All of his teaching, all of his miracles, even his death and resurrection, points and gives honor and glory to the Father in heaven. Us, in all of our lives, we should glorify him in all that we do, in every aspect of our life. People should see God's love through us. They should see God shining through us. Take a look at what Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. And he said, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So no matter what you do, you point to the Father in heaven. You give thanks through Jesus Christ for everything that happens in your life. Martin Luther put it this way. This means that in our whole outward life, in what we do or suffer, we should conduct ourselves in such a way that we serve God and do not seek our own glory and advantage. It isn't about us. It's about what God has done for us. It means that God alone must be praised by what we do and that we must act in such a way that one can see that we do everything for God's sake. That people could see that our life is a life which is dedicated to the one who saved us and redeemed us. And in response to his love and grace, we live for him. And we want to bring honor and glory to him. This really was Bach's philosophy of life. For all the talent that he had and the gift that he gave to the world through his music. And yet, on each piece of paper, sola Dei Gloria. To God alone be glory. But my friends, you don't have to be Bach. You can bring glory to God not only by writing sacred music, but frankly, by taking out the trash. It means every aspect of our life. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for the one who has given us life. It means that the gifts that God has given you, and God has gifted every one of you, to use those gifts to his glory. We use those gifts to his glory when we recognize them. We use them to the best of our ability. And we use them to serve others so that people see Christ through us. Therefore, he gets the honor. It means that when people see you in your life, they see a person who trusts in God. Trusts in God not just in the good times, but most especially in those challenging times when you're going through a rough spot in life. And if they see you trusting in God, they think to themselves, if you can trust God now, who gets the honor? God does, not us. We respond to God by bringing glory to him in every aspect of our life. Really, this is what the Reformation came down to. Because 500 years ago, a guy named Martin Luther got pushed over the edge when all of a sudden the church started peddling salvation. that it was for sale. And it didn't make sense to him, and he couldn't sit still for that. He started a movement. He didn't mean to, didn't intend to, wasn't planned to, but he dug into Scripture and seek Scripture alone as the source for truth. It revealed that Christ alone is our Savior, and then showed him that by grace alone, God's mercy is delivered to us, and that through faith alone, we could put our hope and our trust in Jesus. And all that results is a response of bringing glory to God alone. Sola Dei Gloria. Amen. Do you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, all honor, praise, respect, glory to you for all that you have done for us, for calling us to faith, for giving us your Son, and now giving us a life in which we can live for you. We pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, all of our actions, all of our thoughts, all that we do would point to you and bring you glory. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.